From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
It's a cost, it's a burden on the families of Illinois to have patronage, cronyism, and corruption. Infrastructure is dependent upon leadership and innovative ideas, and we've seen today Governor Quinn, massive problems of patronage hiring inside the Department of Transportation. Big problem. It's not just a problem of a few salaries. This is a lack of leadership, lack of problem solving, and lack of producing results. You know what? Unfortunately, Governor Quinn is track record of being a phony on reform. He said he was reformed patronage at IDOT years ago, and now, as it turns out, patronage hiring under Governor Quinn has spiked dramatically.
I took immediate action. We did an audit in that department. We're continuing all audit positions of exempt positions there. I put in a top-notch person to be Secretary of Transportation. We abolished a staff assistant title. It's no longer there. And I think those are the kind of things you need to do to straighten things out. I believe that when something is going in the wrong direction, take responsibility and take action. I'm running against someone who over and over again in his private business, when something went wrong, when there was illegal activity going on, he took the money and ran out the back door and took no responsibility. So I think that there's a lot of explaining to do. Over and over again, this happened in his private business, and I think the people of Illinois need to know that.
There we heard Governor Pat Quinn and gubernatorial candidate Bruce Rauner almost sounding like they were debating each other. Well, they were making an appearance adjacent to each other, I guess, and we'll be talking about that on this week's State Week in Review. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Director of Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. In our State House Bureau, Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS and Illinois Public Radio. And our guest this week from Chicago, the Chicago Tribune's John Byrne. John, thanks for taking time out to chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
John, you had the good fortune of getting the assignment to go to the Metropolitan Planning Council's
one way to put it.
Yes, Metropolitan Planning Council's annual or quadra-annual, whatever you call a four-year event, where they bring the gubernatorial candidates forth with some prepared questions and a discussion of the issues. A wonky event, but the candidates seem to stake out their familiar territory as well.
Yeah, you know, the actual luncheon questions were, they appeared separately in a ballroom with the, you know, I think there were about 1,000 people jammed into this ballroom, and Rauner appeared first, answered about half a dozen questions. Craig Delamore from WBBM Radio did his level best to keep Rauner on point. And then Rauner held a news conference after that where he teed off on Quinn in sort of a familiar way. And then we all went back into the ballroom. Quinn came up. Craig asked him the same half dozen questions. And then Quinn went to a news conference where he teed off on Rauner in a familiar way. So the clips you played were from their back-to-back news conferences after their appearance at the luncheon.
Now, did they make similar remarks on stage before an audience of people that are interested in policy as opposed to these comments that we hear out of a news conference afterward?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they obviously, both the questions were kind of, you know, it's the planning council, so the questions were about transportation funding and water infrastructure upgrades and about fixing the state's finances generally. So it was an opportunity for them broadly to kind of stake out their platforms, where Rauner said we shouldn't be raising income taxes to help pay for this stuff. We should be diversifying our sales tax base as a way to pay for these types of projects. And Quinn came in and said, you know, he kind of went through his checklist of the things he's done since he's been in office to deal with the water infrastructure and bridge repair and fixing the state's finances.
Well, and of course, Quinn has a lot to brag about. He did sign Illinois' much needed, when he first took office, capital program that has allowed for those investments. It's allowed to give him something to brag about and to go across the state cutting ribbons and being able to talk about that. Rauner talking about, yes, it's good. I think whenever you can get policy, so much of this campaign has lacked that. And yet even the policy discussions miss that. Rauner saying, sure, he wants to tax some of these, put a sales tax on some services. And so that's different, I guess, than the Rauner that we had started with in the primary that seemed to say, no, Illinois doesn't need to bring in any new revenue. But nonetheless, I believe made statements along the lines of, no, we want to put more money into state parks. We need more infrastructure. We need to help our bridges. We need to do all of this. At the same time, he's also saying that he won't close any state facilities, that he, in fact, wants to reopen some, that he wants to put more money into education. So that disparity remains between, well, how are you going to make that happen? Exactly, because growth does not happen overnight, even if we believe that he could have the same success with Illinois' finances as he did with his own personal funds.
Yeah, and he was interesting. He was asked, Craig Dollimore again, trying to get him to give specific examples of where is the revenue going to come from. You talk about growth. How is this going to happen? And Rauner, you know, he said, I could sit up here and say we're going to dedicate these funds to transportation. We're going to dedicate things to education. We're going to dedicate money to housing, for instance. But he said that politicians never keep their promises on that. We just need to make these things a priority and put them in the budget every year and find ways to fund them. But I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to dedicate X number of dollars, because as we see with the lottery, as we see with this, that, and the other thing, politicians will always say we're going to set aside money for bridges, we're going to set aside money for education, and then they go ahead and spend the money on whatever they want. So I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm going to dedicate these monies to this.
So John, was Mr. Rauner saying, in essence, I'm not going to make these promises because I'm not going to keep them if I'm elected?
Well, you know, he was saying, he seemed to be saying, I'm not going to make these promises because they're not worth the paper they're printed on. You know, it's not, anyone can sit here and say, I'm going to dedicate things to this, but the important thing is to say, you're going to make a commitment to make this a priority, and I'm saying I would make this a priority, and I would work with experts and steal. He kept talking about stealing good ideas. Maybe you guys who hear him more than I do hear this from him a lot. We're going to bring in the brightest minds and steal good ideas from other states to try to find ways to fund these things. He talked about public-private partnerships a few times, although he was a little bit non-committal on whether he would seek to lease the state toll road. He said probably, he ended up saying probably not. He said, I can't really comment. This was in the press conference afterward. He was asked, when you talk public-private partnerships, does that mean leasing or selling the toll road? He said, I can't really comment on that. Not likely. We would have to look at public-private partnerships. It's not likely that I would look at the toll road lease to be one of those things.
Well, and that's where I think you have to, I guess, in a sense, that's how politics works these days. If you make a statement, you know that we all have it recorded. It's on video. It is on tape. We've stored it. We're going to go back. And the second that you break your word, hey, you said blah, 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 but way back when. So maybe it is just how the world works today that politicians can't go out and say that. Nonetheless, I think that it's an issue when details are so hard, and especially with Rauner, with Quinn, like him or not, and there are clearly plenty of people who don't, you pretty much know what you're getting and where he stands on things. With Rauner, there is such difficulty because you don't know what he would do with public-private partnerships, with pretty much anything. And when he isn't weighing in, you don't know if that's because he's trying to be careful politically, or maybe he doesn't even aware that it is an issue because he's been involved. He's clearly smart. He's clearly a hard worker. He has no real government involvement. And so maybe he doesn't even recognize it as an issue. If his, you know, pollsters and his aides haven't brought it forth just yet, he's got to be pretty darn careful because he can't talk about those things. Whereas Quinn, of course, can Again, is a master, actually, at avoiding questions as well, but has been involved in state government for decades, so he's practiced it both that, and he knows what he's talking about on any number of those issues.
Well, it strikes me as really a sad commentary, you know, on the citizenry of Illinois, that you're a candidate and you look at it cynically and say, I can't tell people the truth because they're not equipped or ready to understand what the situation is, and I am so invested in me being governor that I'll say or do whatever I think is needed to get elected, and I'll avoid things that might hurt me. So I'm not going to tell people what I really believe because I think it may not play. And I guess I'm old enough that I can hearken back to the days when a candidate, in essence, would say, here's what I think about these six things. If you like me, vote for me. If you disagree, vote for the other guy.
I think it's just a modern campaign trope, and mm-hmm. even in the way that politicians are governing now, you look at the way Mayor Rahm Emanuel is compared to the way Mayor, just his immediate predecessor, Richard Daley, was. Daley was constantly holding news conferences, you know, three or four a week, and you know, you would run out of things to ask him. It got to be to the point where, like, what are we going to ask him today? Geez, you know, we just
never
saw him
had
yesterday.
That problem. That'd be great.
You know, all right, exactly. Emanuel, you're lucky to get him once a week, and it's very tightly controlled. All our access to him is tightly controlled, and it's this sort of Rose Garden style, you know, campaign Rose Garden style administration. Mm-hmm. You know, where these
frankly,
guys are.
Frankly, but not that fancy. I mean, frankly, that's where it gets almost embarrassing when these candidates are, at least when they're in Springfield. It's such a rarity. And even the Q&As that you do get it's such a tight timeline. It's, you know, four or five questions. And so it turns reporters, civilized, very intelligent human beings who the press corps, I consider them friends and colleagues and
civilized,
valuable.
Though?
But we turn into banshees, you know? Oh, throw the. Well, yeah, good point. But
during
the workday, usually, and you know, you just have to scream out these questions
right.
in order to even attempt to get any of them in. It's really a horrible process for everybody, frankly.
Yeah.
What did you see, John, in the way of appealing to a Chicago audience? Were there some Chicago-specific things that they mentioned?
During the Q&A. Portion of it, there was talk of water infrastructure, which is a big problem up here, given that the we're getting much heavier rains and we've got these old pipes. So you know, there was talk about finding ways to help Emanuel's undertaking this massive, you know, sewer reconstruction project and his hiking water and sewer fees to help pay for it, and both candidates talked about, you know, the importance of taking that kind of thing seriously, the way that Chicago really, this is becoming a more pressing problem in Chicago, and the way that the state needs to find a way to help the mayor in this this attempt to upgrade as much of the sewer system as he can as quickly as possible. So that was one point where they were definitely preaching to the locals on that one.
And what was your sense of how the crowd? You mentioned about 1,000 people there. What was your sense of how the crowd reacted to these candidates?
You know, I think they knew what they were going to get. They greeted both warmly. They laughed at the laugh lines. You know, afterward, I talked to some people I knew, some elected officials who were in the crowd, and they said, you know, it would have been nice if there could have been some sort of back and forth, if not between the candidates, then at least between the candidates and the crowd. Some of them were hoping and maybe expecting that that members of the audience would get to throw out some questions. But you know, it was a lunch deal. They've done this since 2002, I think, with the gubernatorial candidates from the major parties. So I think people kind of knew what they were getting, and they greeted them both warmly.
So that means we've never gotten a straight answer in the 12-year or
apparently, I wasn't there, but apparently the Blagojevich Judy Bartopinka one was a little bit more spirited in that, like, whoever went first, the one who was scheduled to go second sat in the crowd and watched the answers of the one who went first and then sort of responded directly during during the second part of the program. Of course, at this thing yesterday, by the time Rauner's news conference was over, immediately following his segment, before Quinn had even taken the stage, the Quinn campaign had put out a news release bashing Rauner over some of the things Rauner said during Rauner's Q&A. So, you know, they were quick on the uptake to get their shots in, if only vicariously, you know.
In the last minute or so that we have you before we let you go, were there any other takeaways or just things that caught your attention at this particular event?
You know, it was funny to me that going into each news conference afterward, going in, each campaign posted a staffer at the door and was demanding media credentials from all of us. I guess this is what to either prevent opposition people from getting in or random.
The trackers, yes.
Yeah,
the trackers.
Right. Prevent the which is bizarre, though, since we're all sitting in there, all of us are sitting in there taking video and tweeting the thing out as it
yes.
goes. So we're just, all the trackers have to do is monitor Twitter to really get the whole story of the news conference. But it wasn't even just a perfunctory thing. It was show us your ID, and if they didn't like the look of the ID, they were bringing in their bosses to give the thumbs up or thumbs down to let certain members of the media in. So I was struck by that.
Did they actually throw out any media people?
There were, you know, when I walked in, there were a couple of guys who had been told, you go stand over there and we'll make a ruling on whether we're going to let you in a minute, you know? So I don't know if those guys ever actually made it in, but they were waiting for some higher up, the Rauner campaign was waiting for some higher up Rauner campaign official to come over and say either yay or nay on a couple of guys.
That's outrageous.
It's a thumbs up, thumbs down. You're getting press releases for events, you know, an hour or so before they're actually held. I think just so that in an attempt for a tracker to be too far away to make it, to try and keep the other campaign on their toes. It's a whole new type of campaign that's really ramped up. We saw it a couple of years back. We saw it in the last gubernatorial election, but it's at a whole new level now.
John Byrne of the Chicago Tribune, thanks for taking time out to chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to State Week in Review.
Support for State Week in Review comes from Illinois Issues, a public affairs magazine deciphering Springfield legislation and the state of the state. This month's environmental issue looks at the state's endangered species list, also climate change, and a parks update. Illinois Issues and its companion publication, The Roster of State and Government Officials, is available at illinoisissues.uis.edu.
We continue our discussion on State Week. Charlie Wheeler, Amanda Venicky, and I'm Bill Wheelhouse. A few more things related to the governor's campaign. Also this week, both Rauner and Quinn spoke separately to the Illinois Farm Bureau. And one thing where Rauner attacked Quinn there was saying that the Department of Agriculture was nothing but crony. So crony has become this common thing that he's pointing out in several locations, IDOT and Department of Ag. Whereas, and then he also pointed out at the Department of Ag that it's not a farmer heading up the organization right now, whereas Quinn came back and just said, well, if he's going to cut the tax, we aren't going to be able to handle the proper regulations and things that we do. And obviously, we have, depending on how you define crony, there will be political hires at either of these places, but I've never necessarily felt that the Department of Agriculture is probably one that the Farm Bureau has found to be an unfriendly agency to them, Charlie.
No, I don't think so. The Department of Agriculture has advocated on behalf of farmers and farm policy pretty consistently during the years that I've watched it. Now, I'll confess, as a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, the Department of Agriculture was not high on the list of the agencies that I was trying to keep track of. But my sense of it is that it's done a pretty decent job, and you don't hear a lot of complaints from industry or from farmers that the Department of Agriculture is not working with them. And as a matter of fact, there's always been kind of a tension between agriculture, which is advocating for the farming industry, and the Environmental Protection Agency, where the agencies come at issues from a different perspective with different missions and different goals. And I would guess, to the extent that there are, what would you say, political hires at the Department of Agriculture, my guess is most of them are probably Republicans that have been held over.
And certainly many of the Democratic heads of that agency, I would say, were conservative Democrats in a way, because often they came from agricultural backgrounds. Amanda Winicky, we're hearing that word crony. That seems to be a word that must play well with Rauner's campaign.
I'm sure it's been tested and polled and focus groups and what have you. It does continue, however, to be an issue for Pat Quinn. He was supposed to be the reformer, the fresh face after Rod Blagojevich, or maybe not fresh again, given his long career in government, but nonetheless. But we're seeing him continually aligned with Blagojevich, and that link brought up more and more by Rauner, by Republicans, and pointing to, wow, this looks just like the end of the last term with Blagojevich, with what is going on at the Illinois Department of Transportation. And again, Quinn long having said that it was cleaned up, but Rauner, his camp, putting forth some pretty, you know, damning evidence, they would say, that Quinn says he's fired all these people or laid them off, gotten rid of them. But no, wait, there are still plenty of these individuals with political connections working at the Department of Transportation who were hired into these positions, who are still there. The Department of Agriculture, that's Director Bob Fleiter, who is a longtime legislator and, Bill, as you noted, not a farmer, got that appointment after he had voted for the tax increase that Quinn had wanted, after saying he wasn't going to do that. So Rauner really trying to point out the ways in which Quinn, the quote-unquote good guy, is Quinn the politician, and Quinn trying to battle that. And I think it needs to be pointed out that whereas Rauner continually tries to say, hey, Quinn is at the top. He, for example, this Inspector General report all about the IDOT hiring does not directly implicate in any way Pat Quinn. It does have sign-offs from his office for these hires, but there's no indication if Quinn did or did not know. He clearly wasn't the one that, it's called an EPAR form, kind of the electronic approval. He clearly wasn't the one submitting it. Quinn saying, well, hey, wait a second. Rauner is head of this company where he got the money that has allowed him to stage this, wage this campaign for governor and wage the war against me. But he can claim what? It's all right for him to claim hands off whenever it comes to all of the individuals at the many companies he's been involved with who are facing trouble with the law.
And I think
so. His own cronies of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two themes that are just going to keep sticking out here. I think we're going to be, one candidate's going to be focusing on the corruption in government, and the other one is going to point out what he sees as the corruption of the private sector of at least a particular company.
Exactly. And I think it's where you have at this point, as we've talked about, how hard it is to get definitive answers about some of these very real policy matters. But for a lot of people, it's also just a question in leadership. Which type of leader do you want? I think that there's a lot of disgust in both directions.
Quickly touching upon another issue that in a lot of communities where this program is heard, it affects a number of people, and that is there has been a preliminary injunction issued by a Sangamon County judge that bars the state from collecting health insurance premiums from retired state workers, Charlie Wheeler.
Yeah, and this is an offshoot of the Supreme Court decision of a few weeks ago in which it said that the commitments that the state made to its retirees regarding subsidized health insurance were covered by the pension clause protecting pension or the constitutional clause protecting pension benefits, and they were a benefit that could not be diminished or impaired. It was a 6-1 decision. The one dissenter, Justice Ann Burke from Chicago, said that, well, this really isn't a benefit within the sense of a retirement benefit, which would be like an annuity. But the majority said, well, it was part of the deal, and the state can't renege on this deal. And so the ruling by Judge Narduli, it comes as no surprise. And it's the first step. It tells CMS you can't keep taking money out of people's retirement checks. The next step in the process will be the state has to return the money that it's taken out so far, plus interest, to all the retirees who've been having their annuity checks dinged to pay for this health insurance, which we now know constitutionally the state could not do.
So we'll see the economy get a boost with a new influx of money when those refunds come in towns like Springfield and university communities across the state. Amanda Venicky, the governor vetoed a bill that involved what is known as ride sharing. Can you explain that for those who don't know and why this is significant?
Well, basically, ride sharing is the new way to get a cab, and it doesn't actually have to be a cab. What has been particularly controversial is just individuals. Me, if I had a decent car and wanted to make an extra buck, which I would love to do, frankly, but
have a decent car.
Both. I'm into both of those things. You would use your smartphone to open an app, and basically that's how you now flag a driver. And the state had passed legislation, or the General Assembly had passed legislation that would try to regulate this practice statewide. Now, really, again, Bill, only in Chicago, but who knows where it might go. They're trying to look out, they say, for people's safety. Are these drivers being properly background checked? What about insurance? Should it cover from the time that the app is on, or just if there's a passenger in the back seat? So it's, on one hand, a safety issue, but also heavy in terms of lobbying. You've got the insurance industry involved, powerful taxi industry. Quinn vetoed the regulations, and it had become a significant issue in the governor's race because Rauner had been putting a lot of public pressure on Quinn to take that sort of action. It's, again, they're fighting for every single voter, every last scrap on the table, as you may put it. And this is basically, you know, you're millennials, you're upwardly mobile Chicago residents who very much become on Uber, and Uber had been airing commercials saying, hey, pressure Pat Quinn to not do this. So the taxi industry saying that it's really disappointed, but a lot of intersections, they're kind of your prototypical political story.
And well, Amanda, what were the vote totals by which that legislation passed? Were they,
you know,
substantial?
I don't have them on hand. Decently so. I wouldn't say that it was
to support an override. Should the sponsor attempt it?
It could. I think that that's a lot of questions, though. You have Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who is against the legislation, and the House sponsor, Representative Mike Zaleski, does have, of course, ties there. And so he is not committed to attempting to seek an override.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks to our guest, John Byrne of the Chicago Tribune. You can get a podcast of this show by going to WUIS.org. If you're using a desktop or laptop, find it on iTunes by searching for State Week in Review. If you're on a mobile, you got to go to iTunes U. Production assistance for our program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.